A love note from the little people. Thank you, deliverer of such a greeting. Nice little card from the littlest group. We love you. Please give them my love too, would you? So the Apostle Paul didn't quit. In reading what he goes through in the book of Acts, and then reading his own testimony in 2 Corinthians 11, you can't help but wonder what kept him going. It would have been so easy to backpedal, so easy to even renounce Jesus or just not mention that name that gets him into trouble. And what kept him going was his love for that same Jesus that we've sung to and about this morning, and his love for people around him, wanting them to know the Savior. And if he has to go another lap of difficulty so one more person can hear, he says it's worth it. Philippians chapter 1 really says that. I put it into my little words. Philippians chapter 1, last week we ended at 21, for to me to live is Christ. What does that mean? It is not simply sitting back and basking in the glory of that. It is not just him spending all of his time thinking all about all the greatnesses and all the benefits. For me to live is Christ. Why am I living? And if I'm going to praise him forever, if I'm going to be before his throne praising him forever, that's wonderful. That's a promise. We look forward to that. But for me to live here is Christ here, and more than just basking in it, it is proclaiming it. It is living out the love of God for one more person. For to me, to live is Christ. There is nothing else out there. No other goal, nothing else to shoot for, nothing else to invest in. While I'm living life, I have to do daily routine, put my pants on just like anybody. I've got to do the routine. But it's Christ that I'm getting out of bed for. It's Christ that I'm moving forward for. And to die? The word gain, there is not a better way to translate that. It is so much better. And I want to focus on that today. Verse 23 will be our primary. I want to walk down through verse 26. Let's read it together. 21, Philippians 1, 21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Most of us do not look at death that way. We'll cover it with smiles and little platitudes and reminders, but really to say, I look forward to that because it's so much better beyond words. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Very costly and painful, but fruitful. And I do not know which to choose. But I'm hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for you, for your sakes, not for his glory, not for his gain, for their gain. And convinced of this, I know I shall remain and continue with you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. This passage, specifically verse 23, but I'm hard pressed from both directions, a longing to be with Christ. Whew. Yet a longing to share the scripture with one more person, the truth of the gospel with one more. Hard-pressed from both ways. I'm tugged this way, I'm tugged that way, or pressured from this way and pressured from that way. what do I choose? And I don't think God gave him a godogram that said, would you rather go to heaven, Paul? He knows that's coming. But it's just his way to word it here. There's a parallel passage that I want to walk through with you. I think it's very appropriate. Hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ. Would you please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4? For that is better, much better. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing, it's doing something, it's producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. And I believe it's proper to say, you can't say it's like this. There's nothing to compare it to. And with Paul knowing God as he does, he's able to fill us out in our understanding and give us hope, give us that future out in front of us that he is shooting for, to give us courage to move forward. So not losing heart. Not losing heart. For a momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, except that's what I have to look at every day. That's all I have to look at every day. That's what my eyes do. God put them in my head. And I have no other explanation why I'm on a highway 60 miles an hour and a car is coming the other direction 60 miles an hour. And what do I see when I look at that car? Their eyes. There's a connection. But if that is all there is, this which we see, he says, this is just temporary. Look at those eyes. Look with those eyes. For we look not at the things, and that's a choice, which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, temporary. That's why they break. It's man-made, and even if it's God-made, it wears out and breaks, and it's temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. There's a quality, not just longevity. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed, in this house, this thing that I live in, you don't live in my house, I don't live in your house. This is my house. Our houses meet every now and then, and you know, we eat dinner together, whatever. I'm living in my house. While I'm in this house, we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, shall not be found naked. There's no in-between zone. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened. I didn't hear one amen. I cannot believe it. Are you guys paying attention? Didn't it hurt to get out of bed this morning for some of you? You know, while we're in this tent, we groan being burdened because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed in order that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Yes. Now, he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a pledge, as a down payment, an earnest payment. Therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. We're not there face to face yet. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. There's three words that I've never done a word study on until this time, though I've preached in this passage many times. The three words talk about our existence. And they might be so familiar with us that we miss it. The English translations are good. The three words are tent, house, and home that are found in this passage. I don't know why I've never studied this out before. A tent, good translation of the Greek word. What's it? Do you have a tent at home? Is that what you're living in? Why? What's it for?
Camping, not
dwelling. It's temporary. It has its place. And with my family, when we've needed a tent, we've appreciated the tent. But not like our house. It's always nice to get home and look at that tent spread out in the front yard drying out. Right? We're at home in this tent. But there's a house coming. There's a home coming. These words are temporary house. Excuse me, temporary tent. This house that we live in, it's also called, is a hub from where life goes out of. But the home, it is literally a word that means a return to your country from a foreign land. For those that have traveled abroad, you know, it's nice to go and visit. It's nice to be there. Some of the stuff we experienced was not so fun. But man, when that plane landed in the United States, you know you've got some appeal out there for some of the problems, and there's some rest in that. There's some comfort in that. That's the word that is used. It's used in verse 6, I think in verse 8. Verse 8, for we are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. I don't know which to choose. I'm being pressed from both sides, longing to be at home with the Lord. Yet to stay here, fruitful work in your life, Philippians chapter 1. He goes on to tell the Corinthians, therefore, also we have as our ambition, I'm at verse 9, 2 Corinthians 5, 9. We have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, because you can't be at both places. At home in this body, this is where I live, which is also called a house and a tent. My favorite verse here is verse 4, the last, in order that what is mortal, it's life, it's breath, but may be swallowed up by life. Done. Arrived. Home. So verse 9, we have as our ambition, whether at absent or at home or at absent, to be pleasing to him. For to me, to live is Christ. To die, absolute gain. It's home. With him, no longer by faith. Face to face. And I'm wondering if Paul longed to look around and see the other ones that were able to come along because of his ministry. Maybe it doesn't work that way. It's nice to think about, though. Verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Revelation talks about this, too. That each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, whether he has done good or done bad. There's a constant flow in this passage. It's not doing good to get saved. It's doing what is good because God says it's good because you belong to God. Or not. And the judge is the one that knows, and there's no shamming him. Let's go back to Philippians. I see it as a parallel passage, for to me, to live is Christ. To die is gain. But if I'm to live on in the flesh, in this tent, in this house, this will mean fruit for labor for me. It's not kicking back in the easy chair. I do not know which to choose. I'm hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ. That is very much better. Let's look at the word desire for just a moment. The word desire, that Greek word, when used in 1 John 2:15 and 16, it's the word lust. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. When it's used in Romans chapter 7, it's the word covet. Paul said, man, according to the law, I was found blameless until he woke up. And that's when God showed him I'm the chief of sinners. The law came, I died. And then he talks about inventing ways of coveting. It was so bad. Coveting was part of my makeup. Greek word is lust. Greek word is coveting, depending on the context. And Greek word here is desire. That kind of a longing. That kind of a longing. I'm hard-pressed from both directions having that kind, that desire to depart and be with Christ. There's some wonderful language here. And I hope it's interesting at the very least for you. The word depart, I've got four different ways that that is used. The desire to depart. Concerning soldiers, Greek language uses it for the soldier to take down their tent and move on. Politically or legally, it's to set a prisoner free, to depart. Used of farmers or concerning farmers, to unyoke their oxen at the end of a laborious day. And used concerning sailors, to loosen the ship from its mooring and set sail. We're done. We're finished. I have this deep urge, this desire, covetous in some, lust in some, take the thought of that pressing urge inside to depart. Cut loose from the mooring and be swallowed up in life. You like that picture? I do, for that is much better. But to stay, I'm game. It means fruitful labor for me. I'm hard-pressed from both directions. Verse 24, yet to remain on in the flesh, got the yoke on with the oxen, I got the ship still tied to the dock. To remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. And convinced of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you for all, with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. There's work in the faith. There's work to stay focused because of faith. But joy in the faith. And there's that key thought of Philippians, rejoice, joy. I am doing what I'm doing for your benefit, that you will understand the joy in the faith. And convinced of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you for all your progress, the discipleship walk, Go therefore into all of the world, or as you are going, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's making disciples. He will not stop making disciples until they lob off his head in the not too distant future. So that your proud confidence, oh yeah, Paul, how's he doing? Have you heard anything? Your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus. It's not about Paul, it's about Jesus, who I represent. You see Christ in me? Hallelujah. Through my coming to you again. Paul is in prison, Roman prison. And as far as we can tell, he was released from that stint. What he did until he came back and was arrested again, we assume he went to Spain. There's excellent evidence that he went to Spain with the gospel. Good chance he also went to Philippi. Whether he did or not, we have no evidence. But at the time, he talks about with my coming to you again. But just up above, verse 18, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or truth, Christ is proclaimed. In this I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice. You remember the context. For I know that this shall turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Christ, of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that I shall not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ shall even now be exalted in my body, whether by life or death. I'm going to be delivered. And if it means delivery from prison, I might come and see you. I want to. And you can look forward to it. And you can praise Christ Jesus for his work in me, his work through me. And if I get delivered through death, so much more gain. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Are you tracking with this passage? He's dealing with real life and death stuff. He's teaching us something. He's mentoring something to us. But I think the deepest thing that we can get from this is his own relationship with God that makes it real. We can write books about it, but is it real? Because of that faith walk I have with the living God. Interaction. Whoa. Put this in the books. Hey, amen. Go ahead, Fred. You had something as well.
Might as well. Language is important in describing things. You said that in English language, tent, home, and house. Well, home is a cognate in German to Heimat, which is a much stronger word describing what we mean by that in the phrase, the home of the brave. We know what that means. It's a place where we really belong or want to belong. And in another language that I'm privileged to know a little bit about, there is a word that describes this longing to be there. The word is saudade in Portuguese. And there's a singer from the Cape Verde Islands, a very famous singer, who sang a song like that. She talked about the people from that island who are in the diaspora. Many of these people live overseas because it's a very poor place. And they have this longing, this saudade, to be home. A poor place. Do we have this saudade, this longing to be home in the Heimat with God? Nice. We should.
I don't think it develops synthetically. I think it is time with him that causes that and brings that. I know the truth. I know the facts. Do I epigenosko know him for who he really is? Am I on that pursuit and settle for nothing less? That's what he has for us. Epigenosko. knowing him truly, deeply for who he really is. Thank you, Fred, very, very much. The last verse of How Great Thou Art speaks to that end as well. Anybody else?
Dan, let me say just a word about our friend, Fred. He speaks of languages and comparisons. Fred's fluent in at least 4 different languages. I listen carefully to him. Thank you, Fred. Mm-hmm.